So, Paul, you crash hard at Nicholas's place, and then you've got to wake up early to get to work in the morning. The question is, now that Unstoppable HQ is gone, where do you meet?
I'm going to rent us a space at an upscale motel, get a conference room, stay in a suite, and invite all the local politicians and leaders to meet us there.
Then I guess everybody gets texted this information. You all meet at a lovely upscale hotel. You've been given a conference room where they're offering breakfast so that nobody has to go out and get it. Present now is Stan Gibson, the governor of New Jersey Delphia, Perry Fingus, the chief of police, Jack Springley from the FBI has also been invited, Kelvin McDonnell is here, and somewhat to your surprise, Malcolm Rocha, the real Malcolm Rocha, CEO of Big Big Donuts is here.
Malcolm, it's a pleasure to see you. Hey, I know your name got dragged through the mud, but don't worry. We're gonna get these people.
Well, hey, look, freeze frame. You know we're all part of the Big Big Donuts family, and when they attack one of us, they attack the whole family. There's nothing I love more than this company or the people in it, so I'm here to financially support you or anything else you need. I want you to know, if we need to work together to rehabilitate your brand deals with Big Big Donuts, we'll stop at nothing to make sure it's a healthy and productive relationship.
Well, thank you, Malcolm. You know, it's been too long since we hung out in person.
I remember the last time we hung out. Do you remember? We filled the hotel water heater with Big Big Donuts coffee. Those were good times.
Yeah, they were. Those criminals don't know who they're messing with.
And then, of course, there's also a couple of New Jersey Delphia congresspeople, but they may as well be stuffed animals. I mean, they're here mainly just to get the inside scoop on the financials and stuff, but nobody is a national political star, and they'll just vote with party lines. The main thing is they'll probably want kickbacks or whatever when you work out a plan to rebuild, so, like, it's not important, but they're here.
Our esteemed representatives, thank you for coming out at this critical time.
Naturally, Michael is also here. He flew out on a private jet.
How's the stock situation looking, Michael?
I'll be honest, we fell about 4% last night. Your PR response was really great, but we need to demonstrate that this isn't going to be the financial setback that it looks like, somehow.
Look, we've got all the people here that we need to make that happen, so.
We had insurance on the building, but we'll need to get a new lease.
But we could get a really good deal on that right now. Maybe better than what we had before. Possibly a major bailout. Nobody's going to want to be the person betting against Unstoppable Industries right now. Trust me, we'll be all right. We're about to kill the short sellers.
Elvis, you're here, and likely not sure exactly how to handle yourself around business leaders, congressmen, and the like. One of the congressmen has loaded up a plate with more eggs than you think a human being could eat. And when he's done getting eggs, he puts the tongs down in the tub with all the fruit in it. So now there's eggs mixed in with the fruit.
Oh, God.
Another congressman appears to be hiding bacon in his coat pocket.
Oh, okay. I guess I'll also put some bacon in my pocket.
He sees you doing this and he winks at you, knowingly.
What does he know that I don't know?
It looks like Malcolm Rocha has two cups of coffee, one for each hand, and he's explaining to anyone that'll listen. You know, coffee by itself is actually a perfectly fine breakfast. You mix in a bit of milk and that's dairy, which is one of the basic food groups.
I guess that is true, sir.
It is true. And if you ever get bored and think, I can't just have coffee every morning, remember there's so many different flavors of coffee. That's why I've got two cups here. They're different flavors. They say variety is the spice of life, and I'm not going to hold myself back, not with Big Big Donuts.
When I get in, I'll grab a fistful of bacon, eat it there at the buffet, then stuff some of it in my pockets.
Come on.
What?
Why is everyone putting bacon in their pockets?
What kind of question is that?
Just... help me understand. It's my first time, please.
Because they take the meat away after a while, Elvis. What are you, some kind of buffet amateur? We're having a meeting, and we're gonna get distracted. And at some point, you're gonna want more bacon, but it'll be gone. Stockpile it while you can.
Okay, does that go for other foods?
No, I mean, I don't think anything else has, like, good market value. Just get the bacon before the congressmen grab it all, because they will if you don't.
Paul, when you get to the eggs, you see that most of the eggs are already gone.
Ah, they got all the eggs already!
Well, that congressman over there, he's got a plate full of nothing but eggs.
Okay, so it works like this. First, he gets all the eggs. Now he controls all the eggs. You want eggs? He's gonna want your pocket bacon. That's the other reason you need pocket bacon. It's to trade for any high-value food items the congressman already grabbed.
Well, no one warned me that was gonna be this... Like, why is... Okay, Lowry's not grabbing any bacon.
Well, he's paying for it. He was able to come in before the meeting, maybe, and he ate as much as he wanted. Now he doesn't have to trade for anything. Like, there's no need to scratch with the chickens. He can act like he's above it.
Well, I wish that he had told me I could come in early. I woulda.
Lowry helping you get in early for the bacon is a special thing, okay? Can upset the congressmen if they feel like they're being swindled. All right? You're supposed to already know this stuff. It's all unspoken. Next time, just try to show up earlier, see if you can get in. I never could. I gotta do pocket bacon. You ought to get pocket bacon.
Well, I got some.
How much?
I don't know. 2 slices? I didn't want it to be ruined in my pocket.
You gotta fit as much as you can without destroying it.
Well, how much on average do people normally fit?
I don't know. Like, you gotta be thinking about influencing the bacon market. The more bacon you have, the more you can trade for eggs and stuff.
Well, okay, why does Malcolm have 2 coffees then?
Oh, he's insane. They have coffee all day. Don't worry about him.
Everyone settles in and the meeting gets started. Lowry will be in the lead on this.
Well, I'm going to start by spending an hour rehashing all the things that we already know, using a PowerPoint presentation slapped together by, probably, an intern.
During this hour, the staff take the food away, and that's when the trading begins. By the time that Lowry has wrapped up his presentation on the absolute basics, Paul, you've done pretty decently for yourself, you managed to nab a reasonable amount of eggs, some fruit, a muffin, and still had enough bacon left over to feel good about it. Elvis, this is your first time, so somehow you wound up with a box of cereal, but no milk. You did get 3 cups of orange juice and some cottage cheese. It's only later that you realize you got swindled because you can just go get more orange juice.
Man. Never go fluids.
Lowry, is that all you're gonna do?
Now, before I get more into specifics, I'd like to yield the floor to Jack Springley, our contact in the FBI. So I hope he can illuminate some of our progress in tracking down Mercury and halting his operations.
Right, he says. Thank you. Well, to begin, after the bombing of Unstoppable Industries, we've been given a green light on a broad warrant that'll permit us to take any action wherever we deem necessary until the crisis has been resolved.
Wait, is that a thing? Just a like a blanket warrant to do whatever?
Yes, they do exist, actually. They're not usually discussed much to the public, so though we are utilizing such a warrant, I would advise not bringing it up. It's a prickly issue. There shouldn't be any problem so long as we keep our focus targeted to this specific investigation.
So just to clarify, though, we are now legally permitted to enter any residence or place of business if we feel there's a connection to Mercury.
That's correct, within reason. On that note, we've been interviewing the arrest subjects that we gathered from Mercury's compound. Things have been moving quickly, and we find there's a decent amount of reticence among gang members. Many assert that Mercury could break into any conventional prison and personally kill someone who spoke out against the gang, even if we attempted to isolate those individuals. And that's aside from the risk of retaliation from the gang itself. We have had a few people talking, and we're following up on those leads. But at the moment, we haven't found anything that a judge would normally sign off on for us to advance with. After the raid, Mercury's people have been laying low. In my opinion, the attack was premature and prevented us from establishing a better series of links between each compartment of the organization, but there was a great deal of pressure from higher up to act after Kelvin McDonald was kidnapped, who I see is here with us today.
Well, all that would have been quite slow, wouldn't it?
Well, depending on how quickly we were able to infiltrate the organization, it could be quite a few years before we stamp out an especially well-entrenched supervillain. Typically, the process would involve gradually dismantling them from the inside while limiting their growth, a kind of kill-to-the-root scenario. It's important because if all you attack is the head, then the head is replaced. Or worse, the organization will fragment into numerous, less centralized groups. The fact that Mercury escaped us, we therefore recognize, is a potential advantage, because it means that he'll be likely to continue to have central control of his operations and they won't splinter. This might not remain the case, however. If certain elements within the gang begin to sense weakness, they may fragment away and develop into new problems.
At the moment, correct me if I'm wrong, the public is clamoring for an answer, and what they're looking for is Mercury's head. Isn't that right?
Yes, but these things shouldn't be rushed due to political pressure. If we wind up buckling just to meet the needs of political optics, it'll cause disruption to all of our operations and make us less capable on the whole.
Well, why exactly is it a problem if we have good optics?
Optics isn't really the problem. Of course, we want good optics, but we maintain public trust by completing our mission and doing what we exist to do.
Right, but right now, it appears as though you're not meeting your mission goals, and that's poor optics, which means that you might be seeing divestment soon.
Well, we're not. Unlike Unstoppable Industries, the FBI is not a publicly traded company, so our funding doesn't hinge on immediate public perception in quite the same way.
But if our politicians feel that laxity with the service is leading to poor outcomes, then they could lean on your budget or even take remedial steps, could they not?
Look, we are in this together. We agree that we need to catch Mercury together, but if we keep rushing...
Listen, Jack, I think the issue we're having at the moment is that we're not on the same page in terms of objectives. We do, of course, all want to bring down Mercury, but speaking for myself, and of course all the politicians in the room, we'd like to have this problem under control immediately, ideally before the next election cycle. So if we can strike Mercury at his head, then that's the move we need to take.
Well, what I'm trying to tell you is that striking directly for the head...
I understand what you're trying to tell me. What I'm trying to tell you is that Unstoppable Industries is in a dire position. Many of our political leaders here are major investors, and Unstoppable Industries is a major contributor to their campaign funds. Optics are a critical component of our current mission. We need to demonstrate that we are still on top, and the FBI is going to help us demonstrate that.
All right. Well, we have an eye on several small operations that we believe are tied to Mercury and his funding. What I'm trying to tell you is that we're still trying to actually infiltrate the organization to find out where everything is.
Well, then we're in luck, because as I'm led to understand, our own Kimon has a lead on one of Mercury's operations.
Yeah, there's a construction company that some of his people seem tied to, but I haven't had eyes on it that well myself. Our organization laid off the Mercury case to let the FBI take the lead up until Kelvin here got kidnapped, so there's a wide gap in the surveillance. Started back up again, but as you can imagine, they're laying low on most of their operations, so there's not a lot of movement.
But we have an unrestricted warrant to take the place down now.
Springley says, actually, we've also had interest in that place. Are you talking about Hermes Construction?
That's the place.
Yeah, they had a few deliveries come and go from the compound from there. We figured out where they were renting their trucks from and then set up an arrangement with the rental company to rent out a specific truck that we could keep track of. It would start at Hermes Construction, go to the compound, then return. We were beginning to take an interest there before the raid. Of course, now that there is no compound, the deliveries have stopped. There's a risk they've halted or moved operations.
Well, we could strike now and find out.
During your surveillance, Kimon, did you learn anything interesting?
No.
That's too bad. I'd hope your super hearing might have eavesdropped details about what they were shipping.
No, I got pulled off it during their most active period.
Well, we're also now looking at coordinating with more rental companies in general. As it is, we've noticed it's a running theme that our suspects are renting trucks under false identities, using the vehicles to commit crimes, and then ditching them. We saw this with McDonald kidnapping and also with these deliveries. We're coordinating with Police Chief Fingus right now to help the local rental companies be more vigilant. And if we get a report of suspicious activity, then we might be able to move quickly and nab our suspects while they're still renting. Currently, we've seen a pattern where they're using home improvement vehicles and moving company rentals. We're assuming the moving rentals are for things like large-scale deliveries, and the home improvement trucks are for grunt work.
What exactly are you looking for?
In the McDonald cases, the trucks were rented using forged identification documents. The suspect used a credit card that was linked to a shell company that basically ceased to exist after the crime. We tried to backtrack through that, but they got lost in a complicated tangle of foreign accounts and unusual assets. Unfortunately, we see this commonly with tax evasion and money laundering. There's something for our political leaders in the room to take note of, maybe.
Look, there are a lot of legitimate reasons to route through foreign bank accounts or to buy a bunch of digital assets or whatever. My accountants do it all the time, and we have never broken the law.
Well, I know it's not breaking the law right now. I'm just saying that through these methods, the owner of the credit line vanishes into at least three different tax havens, maybe more, that won't have anything to do with us.
So you're looking for individuals using company credit cards to rent vehicles from home improvement stores and moving companies.
Right. Most rentals, especially from home improvement stores, come from individuals or from local companies. So if we spot a credit card linked to a company and a database shows that company's not actually based in New Jersey, Delphia, that almost automatically has to be our guy.
So I do have a little problem with that. The guys doing these rentals are supervillains, at least when it came to the kidnapping and bombing. That means if a local patrol responds on short notice, then they're at pretty serious risk.
Chief Fingus steps in here. He says, that's right, which is why if we do spot a suspicious individual, right now the plan is just to get eyes on them and follow them. Ideally, we can use plainclothes officers once we got a tail, and then we can get a helicopter in the area if it becomes a chase. After that, we'll call in you guys or use a dedicated team from the FBI.
I prefer if you call us.
All right, I got another question. Do we know if the CIA is trying to rule out foreign influence on this?
Springley says, it's my expectation and understanding that they would be, but of course they're not a branch of law enforcement, so there's not going to be direct cooperation unless they find themselves with a valuable tip that doesn't hurt their own interests. You never know with those guys. But for sure, yeah, I think if there's going to be a foreign link, then we'll see more activity from them.
But we can't expect any insight there unless they volunteer that to us.
Afraid not.
Do we have reason to think at this point that Mercury's involved with another country?
It's not unreasonable, given some of the advanced materials they have. It's not as though our nation's adversaries don't ever provide funding for criminal enterprise, especially if it leads to political instability. But it's all criminal one way or the other, so as long as we stay focused on stopping the crimes, in this case, that's all that matters to us.
Well, I think our path of action is clear. Unstoppable Industries will perform an attack on that construction company and shut it down.
Is that our path? I thought I made it clear that we're struggling to gather intel. We keep attacking these places before we're ready. And sure, they shut down, but then we don't know where any other operation is.
Look, at the moment, the biggest thing we're worried about is public perception. We need to show action.
Kelvin McDonald says, personally, I agree.
See? It's closed.
Springley says, all right. If that's our priority, then I guess we ought to talk a mission plan.
Actually, I think we can manage this on our own. Kimon, can you get us details on that place? We'll hit it tomorrow.
Yeah, I'll scout it out.
Perfect. Then we've got everything under control and we're ready to go.
One of the congressmen raises his hand and he says, wait, is anything important coming up with your company? We were hoping to get some insight on, like, you know, your trajectory.
Of course, sir. Right now we're in a bit of a trough, but Michael is already looking into leasing a new building, and we'll make a big show of this attack tomorrow.
McDonald says, actually, Lowry, if I could, I'd like to speak to you privately about your options for a new building. This assessment is still correct, though, for our politicians. Consider Unstoppable Industries as having a very bright future.
Sure, let's go to my room. I have a gourmet breakfast prepared if you're interested.
McDonald goes with you. The congressmen steal all the silverware, then excuse themselves. Paul, before you guys break and head into separate directions, Lightshow and Terry catch up to you. Lightshow says, hey, Kimon, I also have some stuff I want to talk to you about. Can we sit in my car for a bit?
Yeah, all right. I need to head out right away.
Well, it won't take long.